Well, normally, the last couple of years, I got to speak on the last Sunday of the year. This year, the first Sunday of the year. That's great. So that opened up the last Sunday of the year. So I was contacted and contacted a church in Portland, Oregon. So last weekend, I went to Portland Christian Center in Portland, Oregon. And, of course, they flew me in, and they arranged for my transportation from the airport to the hotel, and they set up a Uber driver. Now, this was a first for me. So I go out, and I see this Lincoln SUV, leather seats and all that, just like the taxi cabs I'm used to. And it was really nice. And so the lady greets me, and she puts the stuff in the car, and I said, well, I have a question, and I've never done this before, so do I sit in the back seat like a taxi cab, or do I sit up here with you? And she said, sit where you want. So I sat up there next to her, and she said, no, we can either talk or we don't have to talk. It's up to you, whatever you like. She said, the last guy I just brought to the airport never said a word to me, and I never said a word to him. I said, okay, well, tell me about yourself. She starts telling me, and then she says, by the way, the people that booked you said you're some kind of a speaker. So what are you speaking on? What a door opener, right? So I got to share about what I was going to talk about, the Word of God, and 4 days after Christmas, what did Christmas mean to you? And she told me she grew up in the South, she grew up in a Baptist church, but like so many, as her life went on, she sort of walked away from all that. But I said, you know these things, right? You know God loves you. Yeah, I know God loves me. You know we're all sinners. Yes, I know I'm a sinner. I said, you know even about the cross. She said, yeah, Jesus suffered a lot. I said, what did he suffer for? And we got the chance. This was a nice long ride from the airport to the hotel. And we got to share about Jesus. And it reminded her of her upbringing and all the things that came back to her that she'd known about. Like many of us in the church, we know about these things, but we don't internalize them. So by the time we got to the hotel, she was bowing her heart and re-accepting or accepting Jesus and made a profession of faith to accept the Lord. So I got my first Uber ride, and she got Jesus. Looking forward to the next one. So what an opportunity. Well, my message this morning is going to be truth. One word, truth. What did somebody say last night, John? Truth from Huth. Huth from truth. So I'm going to start by remembering a movie. You remember the movie, A Few Good Men. Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise, and what was the famous line in the movie?
You can't handle the truth.
I can't hear you. Say it like he said it.
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, we got it. Well, I want to change that this morning to you can't find the truth. In our day and age, where did truth go? What happened to truth? And I don't know whether you prefer CNN or Fox News, but do you think we're finding the truth from the media reports we watch every day? And what about the Supreme Court nomination process we went through last year? No matter what side you landed on, do you think the country was satisfied with the truth of the matter? No, so where are we finding truth? Whether it's from the media, from the politicians, what about business? You feel like we have truth and truthfulness in business today? And then how about education? What are our kids learning? And then you go on to government and the church. What about the church? Do people go to church today? Do they find truth? Now, maybe we find it here at Calvary Castle Rock, but there's a lot of churches that are in session right now. Are they hearing the truth? So that's the message today, is about truth. And Barna Research helps us a lot in our Christian community discover where we are as a group of people. So let me share a study recently that shares where the Christian community is with truth. The study shares, being a Christian or associating with the Christian faith is not as attractive to Americans as it used to be. Besides the battering that Christians take in the media, another reason is it's relatively rare to find someone who exemplifies the Christian faith. Because that's an indictment on us, isn't it? What are we doing if they can't find Christianity through us? Most self-identified Christians are comfortable with the idea that the Bible and the sacred books from non-Christian religions all teach the same truths and principles. Faith in America is now individual and customized. We are comfortable with the idea of being spiritual as opposed to devoutly Christian. We become our own unchallenged spiritual authorities, defining truth and reality as we see fit. Only 34% of adults believe in absolute moral truth. The study goes on, continues, and I think this is the basis for the things I just read. Biblical literacy is neither a current reality nor a goal in the United States. Little, if any, progress is being made toward assisting people to become more biblically literate. Bible reading has become the religious equivalent of soundbite journalism. When people read from the Bible, they typically open it, read a brief passage without much regard for its context. If they're comfortable with it, they accept it. Otherwise, they deem it interesting but irrelevant to their life and move on. Is that what we're at today in our Christianity, is soundbite Bible reading? I got my verse for the day. It clicked on my phone. I'm good. Only about half of self-identified Christians firmly believe that the Bible is totally accurate in all of the principles it teaches. Only half of the self-identified Christians believe that. What does everybody else believe? What should we believe? And then the study concludes with this statement. We cannot really call the faith of American Christians a Bible-based faith. Christians today have accepted and combined so many ideas from other worldviews and religions that they have created their own faith system. Wow. Is that where we're at as a Christian community today? I believe the challenges that face the nation, that face us as Christians, are wrapped up in this issue of where we're at with the Word of God. And Hosea 4:1 kind of describes it for us. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." And then verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge, because you have forgotten the law of your God." I think I forgot to ask, does anybody need a Bible? If you need a Bible... The usher's already sat down, but if you need a Bible, they'll bring a Bible to you. If you're a visitor, just raise your hand. And anybody need a Bible? Everybody has a Bible, okay? This is not the first time that this has happened. What we're doing with the Word of God is not the first time. It happens over and over and over in history. So let's go back to a time when Israel had lost its way, when Israel had lost the Word of God. So turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22, probably a familiar passage to most of us. And as you turn there, would you stand in honor of God's word as we read the passage of scripture about Josiah, a boy king who discovered the word of the Lord. So 2 Kings 22, we'll start with verse 1, and then we're going to skip down through a couple of other verses. 2 Kings 22, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem." They were rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem at the time, and you look at verse 8, "The high priest found the book of the law in the house of the Lord, and they read it before King Josiah." And then look down at verse 11 through 13. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." Now verse 16. Thus says the Lord. "Behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, that's Josiah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. And then chapter 23, verse 3, is Josiah's response to what he just hears from the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Thank you for standing in honor of God's word. We can be seated. I believe God is searching for Josiah's today. The same attitude, the same heart that Josiah demonstrated. People who find or hear or discover the word of God and hear it, maybe for the first time or for the second time or again and again, will become tender-hearted to the Lord and tender-hearted to his word and make a covenant with God to honor his word and to do what it says with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. I think that's what God is looking for in 2019. We're going to return to that text at the end of this message, but I want to go back to the theme that I'm talking about this morning, and that's truth. The difficulty we have in our world with truth, maybe in our own lives with truth. So let's see what the Word of God says for us in 2019 as we roll into this new year about truth. And I'm going to share 12 verses on truth. They're going to go fast, they'll go quick. If you care to write them down, you just write the reference. You won't be able to write the verse, but we're going to talk about where we find truth, what happens when we're truthless, and what happens when we're truthful. So the first three verses are on where do we find truth in 2019. The first verse is John 14:6, one we just sang in our worship service about this verse. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So truth is found in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. And so truth is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, and then John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So the truth is found in God's word. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So that's where we find truth. Now what happens for those who don't find truth? And we have a whole lot of people, a whole lot of our nation, the world that is truthless today. So truthless versus on truthlessness. Romans 2:8. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. We just read about that in Josiah's day. It will be no different than in our day. Wrath and fury. Isaiah 59:14 says, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the public squares. I think that's where we're at, aren't we? In Denver. In Colorado, in our nation, truth is stumbling in the public squares. Where did truth go in the public arenas? Jeremiah 7:28, and you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. So truthlessness results in wrath, fury, unrighteousness, and lying. Do we have truthlessness today? So the next three steps are, okay, what are we going to do about this? The pursuit of truth. What can we do? 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, but we, who is we? We're the Christians. We should do these things. But we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with the word of God. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's consciousness in the sight of God. Psalm 86:11 tells us what we can do. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So as Christians, we need to walk in truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Can we do that as Christians? Can you get in an Uber car and share the gospel with the Uber driver? Can you share the gospel with your neighbor down the street, your coworker, all these people who need truth? Can we rightly handle the word of God this year? To pursue the truth, we need to renounce the disgraceful things, the underhanded ways. We need to refuse to tamper with God's word, and we need to seek the Lord, present ourselves to him, and rightly handle God's word. And then the last three are on the benefits. Okay, we want truth. We all, I think, want that. So what are the benefits if we pursue truth in 2019? John 8:32, great verse. You'll know it, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you need to be set free? Do your friends need to be set free? Your family, the people around you? There's so much bondage today. But the truth can set us free in 2019. Benefits of truth. Psalm 51:6. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. So we can delight in his truth. And then Zechariah 8:16 says, these are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. So what are the benefits of truth? Freedom, delight, wisdom, good judgment, peace. Wouldn't that be nice in 2019? In your family, in those around you, in our country, in our cities? The great benefits of truth. So, where is the most reliable place to find truth? Let me give you a clue. Yeah, we got to get back to this. The Bible. I'm going to give you an acronym for this year, for the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Basic Instructions Before Life Every Day. B-I-B-L-E. Basic Instructions Before Life Every Day. 66 books written by 40 authors over 1,600 years, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, and it can be read at the speed that I'm speaking in a mere 72 hours. It's a long weekend, and you could read this whole book. And yet, the Christian community seems to struggle with a simple thing in our Christian life called Bible reading, reading the Word of God on a daily basis. Now, if we could have a little discussion here about all the things you did in 2018 every day of your life, you could probably shout out lots of things to me of things you did. I mean, you probably brushed your teeth, maybe, every day. You probably ate every day. You probably checked your smartphone 100 times a day. There are things we do daily, aren't there? Many of them. They're just habits we don't even think about. But can Bible reading become one of those habits in 2019 that is just so automatic that you don't even question whether you do it or not? You don't even think about it. You just do it every day. And yet statistics tell us that only about 15% of Christians read the Bible every day. So that's a big audience of non-Bible readers, daily Bible readers. And so that may be part of us today. So that's the challenge, is can I change? Can I pursue truth this year? And how am I going to do it? I'm going to do it by spending time each and every day in the Word of God. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy Word is truth. Among Bible readers, the average total time per week of Bible reading is 52 minutes, or 7.4 minutes per day. Yet, the average time in front of a TV is 3 hours. We don't have time for what? For Bible reading? We can exchange a little bit of time in front of the TV for time in the Word. I think if you committed to a 30-minute quiet time, time with the Word and time in prayer, that's less than 2% of your 24-hour day. Can we give God 2% of our day in 2019? We say our relationship with the Lord is our highest priority, don't we? We say that. But can we give him 2% of our day? So surveys indicate the reasons why we struggle with Bible reading. Back to the Bible, did a survey, 50 reasons why I don't read the Bible. Here's the top five. I'm overextended. Anybody can relate? I'm too busy. Bad time management. We're going to fix that in 2019, right? No problem with that anymore. My own laziness. This is the one I like the most. Church-related activities. I'm so busy in church, I don't have time to read the Word. And then lack of a meaningful plan. And actually, the top three reasons that people say they don't read the Bible is too busy, I don't understand it, doesn't apply to my life. We can fix all those things. So why? Why read the Bible in 2019? I asked this question since 2002 when I started the Ezra Project, visiting churches like this and hearing from people. And here were the answers that I received over and over and over from people. They'll relate to you. This is probably why you will want to read the Bible in 2019. The first one I heard was to know God better. Do we want to know God better this year? What better way to know God better than to spend time in his word? John 5:39 says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So if we want to know God better, we must search the scriptures, spend time in his word. It's automatic. If we do that, we will know God better in 2019. The next reason people say they want to read the Bible is to learn how to live life, to learn how to live like God wants me to live. You'd probably agree with that one too, right? We might have that as a goal this year, that I want to live more Christ-like, or I want to live more like God would want me to live. And so what does the Word of God say about that? Proverbs 4:20-22. Oh, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That's the power of the Word of God to help us understand the life that he wants us to live. And the third reason people say they want to read the Bible is to find answers to the problems I have in my life. Now, you just turned over a new year. All the problems went away in 2018, right? We start the year with no problems. But just in case you get any problems this year, you might want this answer. Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." I don't know what you think. If you got PhDs, you're a doctor. Or what? I'm none of those things. I'm simple. I'm just a guy who goes to work every day, lives a life, raises a family. I'm a simple person, probably like all of us. And that's what this says. It gives understanding to the simple. We don't have to be pastors or theologians. We just have to commit to some time in the Word. Let the Holy Spirit become our teacher and help us with the problems that we're going to face in 2019. So those were three good reasons for why to read the Bible in 2019. If you're confused about life, if you want real answers, give the truth of the Word of God a chance in your life this year. He loves you. He wants a truthful relationship with you. Do you want a truthful relationship with him? He's so good to us that he chose to put all of his thoughts in one book, one volume, cover to cover. Everything God wants us to know, everything he wants us to live like, right here. Now, when I was a kid, we had the encyclopedias, right? 24 volumes. God can put it in one book. And we struggle to pick it up and read it. So we can make a change. So how? How do you read the Bible in 2019? Well, there's lots of choices, lots of ways. But as the Ezra Project, we're going to offer you a possibility. And that is to join us in reading one-third of the Bible this year. It's called the 33% Plan. And it's going to cover 22 books of the Bible. It's going to cover things like the Gospels of Luke and Mark, epistles like Philippians and Hebrews and Romans, in the Torah, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, prophets like Ezekiel, Jonah, Habakkuk, and Isaiah, and other books like Kings, where you're going through Kings and Wednesday nights, Kings and Chronicles, and the Book of Psalms. So if you want a journey that's kind of guided for you, then join us and read one-third of the Bible this year. The plan is in these journals, so it's right there, the 33% plan. So you get a journal at the back and $5 for the books, and then you can write what God is going to share with you in the journal this year. You don't have to be a great writer or anything. This is such a cool thing to do. I've been journaling my own personal Bible reading for over 35 years. Every day, what the Lord speaks to me, I write down, or the verse that touched my heart, or the questions that I have as I read. And it'll be such a neat thing to have at the end of the year when you've gone through a third of the Bible and you've jotted down what God has spoken to you as you spent time with him. So that's an opportunity for you to have these. And then I presented last year that we had a way to do it by phone. And during the year, we produced an app. So we now have the Ezra Project Add Bible, ADD, Bible, all one word, Add Bible app. And that app, you can listen to the daily devotion of that 33% plan every day. So you can listen, you can read, and you can take notes all together. This is a great way to do this. Listen, read, and then it touches all the ways you learn then by hearing, by seeing, and by kinesthetic, by writing. So it's all, and you'll learn more and you'll have such a great time in Scripture. So we got the app cards at the back table, we got the journals, we got the plan. And you can do that. Now, if you choose not to do that, and you say, well, that's great, but I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. Okay, we have Club 365, which is on the app or on our website. That has our archives. I've recorded over 50 books of the Bible so far. What the chapters, chapter by chapter, what they say, make some comments on it, apply to your life. So those three reasons, no time, I'm putting it in your ears. I don't understand what it says. I make comments from my journals of over 35 years. It doesn't apply to my life. I make an application. So I've wiped out all your excuses. All you got to do is get some earbuds and load Add Bible. And if you want to follow Pastor's teaching, Pastor Davis, he teaches James. I don't have James done yet, but I will. I got 8 books to go. James is one of them. But Kings and Chronicles are in that archive, so you can listen to the comments as he's going through, if you want a little additional help. If your home groups are doing that, you can do that. And that has a little fee. That costs a little bit per month to do the Club 365. The other stuff is free. So that's a way to read the Word of God this year, is one-third of the Bible, the 33% plan. Now, let's go back to the text as we finish the message and see what happened to Josiah after he heard the Word of the Lord. See, remember like the lady in the Uber car. She knew about this stuff, but she never applied it to her life. Josiah didn't do that. When he heard the word of the Lord, everything changed. Will that be what happens to you this year? So go back to 2 Kings. You can turn there in your Bibles again, 2 Kings, and we're going to go to chapter 23, and we're going to see what happened to Josiah when he heard the word that was read to him. 23:4. First thing Josiah did, he eliminated the idols from the temple. 23:4 says, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Okay, that's what Josiah did. But what does that mean to us? What do we do? Think about the idols that have crept into your life. What are idols? Anything that keeps us away from our relationship with the Lord. There are numerous in our day-to-day. So, are these idols that you need to set aside? Your work, entertainment, selfish ambition, sports? We don't have the idol of sports in this year for the Broncos. We don't need that. Shopping, listening to the voices of men rather than the voices of God, the voice of God. And then, so you have to think about this morning what needs to be eliminated in your life so that you can pursue truth in 2019. The second thing he did, look at verse 5. He removed the idolatrous priests. So it wasn't enough to get rid of the idols. Now he takes those who were worshiping the idols. Then he removed the idolatrous priests, whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places of the city of Judah and in the places of all around Jerusalem. And those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. So he takes out the idols. Now he wipes out the people, the priests. I mean, Josiah is serious, right? He is acting on what he's heard because he saw the Lord say, calamity is coming your way because of these things. Again, what does it mean to us? Think about this. Where are your eyes? Are they on the things of the world rather than the things of the word? What distractions need to be removed so you can clearly seek and find the truth again in your life? Next thing he did, go to 2 Kings 23, 10 through 16. He destroyed the high places, the altars, the wooden images, and the sacred pillars to the false gods of the neighboring nations. So it wasn't enough for him to deal with his own synagogue, his own temple, his own church, his own community. Now he starts to reach out around the neighboring nations and do the same thing. This was a major cleansing that Josiah administered. Imagine how that would be for us today. If we as Christians begin to cleanse our lives from all the stuff that distracts us from pursuing the truth of God, what worldly influences have infiltrated your Christian life? TV, music, movies, the internet. What needs to be controlled or even destroyed so you can have time in 2019 for unhurried Bible reading and prayer? Unhurried, no pressure. We have to wipe out some of this stuff, don't we? And get back to our spiritual priorities. So once that happens, once we begin to take out some of the things that cause us all this busyness and distraction, then like Josiah, what happened next for Josiah is he reinstituted Passover. You see that in 2 Kings 23, 21 and 23. So he reinstitutes the spiritual aspects of life. That will be the same thing we can do. If we get rid of all this other stuff, we will now have time for the spiritual side of life in 2019. So what spiritual activities have you left aside? Or what spiritual activities do you want to strengthen in 2019? Bible reading, prayer, Christian fellowship, church attendance, home groups. What needs to be reinstituted so you can know the truth this year and that the truth then can set you free? I finish with this challenge from Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus, speaking to the religious leaders of his day, speaking to the chief priests and the Pharisees, he said this, "Did you never read in the scriptures?" Where are we as Christians if we are not reading this book? Who do we think is? Christians need to get back to the Word of God. Did you never read in the Scriptures? Josiah read the Word. He got a biblical perspective. It changed his life because he became tender. He became humble before the Word of God. In the midst of all the calamity around him, there was calamity around him, remember? Fury, wrath, but it didn't apply to him anymore. Because he humbled himself before the Lord. The same can happen to us. We don't know what 2019 is going to bring. It'll bring the good, the bad, and the ugly, won't it? It'll bring everything. And there's chances you will face calamity. But you can be blessed in the midst of the calamity as you humble yourself with a tender heart before the Lord and his word. So we go back to where we began in 2 Kings 22, 18 through 20. But as for the king of Judah, Josiah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord your God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse. And you tore your clothes and you wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. Like Josiah, turn to the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might in 2019. Rediscover the truth of God's word. And as you read God's word, it will set you free. Will you accept this challenge to seek the truth in 2019? I invite you to read with me every day. Read with Ezra. Listen in with Ad Bible. Read the word of God. Go through 22 books of the scriptures if you don't have another plan. And follow the word of the Lord and watch it touch our hearts. In Josiah's day, remember, all the people after he made the covenant with the Lord by standing at the pillar, they too made a covenant to stand with their king. Just think. I mean, I don't know Pastor Dave's Bible reading habits. I kind of had a clue that he probably reads every day. But what about you? Will you join him? Will you stand at the pillar with him this year? Imagine what Calvary Castle Rock would be like if everybody in here read the Word of God every day. Would it change the church? Would it change your family? Would it change your community? Could it change Castle Rock? What else is going to happen? We as Christians need to lead. And the only way we're going to lead is through the truth. And the truth is here.